Church, can we just pray together? Lord, as we sang this morning, it's all about you. And if I have one prayer this morning, Lord, it is that you will just reveal yourself to us. Lord, we heard you're the Lamb, you're the Lion, you're so many things to us. Lord, we ask that you will reveal your goodness, your faithfulness, so many aspects of your character that perhaps we haven't even experienced. We ask that your will be done in our lives this morning, that your kingdom will come in a new way, fresh way, and that your name will be exalted. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so I heard this morning we can make jokes in church. Natasha said that very clearly, explicitly. So this is not a joke, it's the truth. We flew in last night from Stanford, USA, so that my wife could do the announcements this morning. That's a lie. We drove by car from Stanford near Wortelgat so that I could bring this message. Okay. You know, last year, at the end of last year, a group of us met to hear what God is saying for us for this church. And the Lord gave Retief the picture of an anchor. And when he asked me to give a message this morning, I wanted to connect my message to that. You know, often people say, you must forget the past. Vergeet die verlede. Dis verby. Laat waters wat verby is, verby wees. Die koel is deur die kerk. Hou jou oog op die toekoms. You know, look at the future. We're not living in the past. We're living in the future. But you know what? That is not what God says. And the message I want to bring across this morning is how important our past is. And that our past is actually a powerful anchor for the future. Right. Can we have the first slide? You know, Retief often speaks that we must read the word. I love the word. I read it all the time. And the other morning, I was reading just a part of scripture I had to read. And, you know, God showed me these last words in verse 7, but your eyes have But your eyes have seen. You hear me? Sounds so dead. Yeah, so I'll just read it for you. It's about the Israelites having... Can you hear me? This thing isn't on. I was just switching it on the back. It's about the Israelites leaving, going through the Red Sea. So I'll just read it to you. It's in Deuteronomy 11. It says, now today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land, what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. What he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place. But then these words, but your eyes have seen. You know, we are going to be kept responsible for what we've seen. What is somebody that has seen? It's called a witness. God will keep us responsible for everything that we have seen in our lives. And we must build the future on the things that we have seen in the past. Now, I am going to, unfortunately, I'll have to share with you some aspects of my own life. Otherwise, you know, it just makes it more personal. So here and there, I will just tell you how we do this practically. And then the next, God not only wants us to remember what we've seen, he says, next, please, he says we must remember. Can we have the next, please? Yes, God desires us to remember what we've seen. And in Psalm 78, we read these words. They forgot, this is referring to the Israelites. They forgot his power and his love and how he had rescued them from their enemies. They forgot the plagues he sent upon the Egyptians. They even forgot how he led them through the Red Sea. Now I ask you, I'm asking you, how on earth can you forget that? How on earth can you forget that the Red Sea opened and you walked through on dry ground? And if they could forget that, we can surely forget what God has done for us. Does it make sense? Have I got your attention? Oh, Jolene, you're my star here today. Right, next. So what I want to say is the miracles of God in our past becomes a monument and an anchor for the future. Now, I'm just going to tell you now a few chapters of the Old Testament in a very short period of time. You all know that the Israelites roamed through the desert for 40 years. And after 40 years, God said they must enter the promised land. How many of them entered the promised land? Two. Only Joshua, who had to lead them through, and Caleb, not even Moses, entered the promised land. How did they enter the promised land? They had to cross another river. And God willed it that that river was in flood at the time when they had to enter. It was in flood because God wanted to show his miracle, opening this river for them. And how many of them crossed this river? Only the men were 600,000, not counting the women and children. That's how many there were. What were their ages? Joshua was 80, because he was 40 when he left Egypt. All the others were younger than 40, because they were born in the desert. God didn't allow anybody that came from Egypt, apart from Joshua, to cross that river. And then God tells Joshua this. He says, he told Joshua and said, when you cross that river, I want the ark of God and the priests to stand in the middle of this river on dry ground. And then I want one man from each tribe to pick up a very heavy boulder and put it on their shoulders and carry it to the opposite side, because I want you to build a monument for what's happened here today. And did Joshua do that? Yes. The men did as Joshua told them. We read this in Joshua 4. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had commanded Joshua, and they carried them to the place where they were camped for the night and constructed a monument. So they did what the Lord said. What was the name of the place where the monument was built? Ooh, it's a difficult one in English and Afrikaans. Afrikaans, Gilgal. How do you say that in English? Can anybody help me? Gilgal. You know what it means? It means the end. That monument indicated the end of what? Of roaming. The end of rebellion. The end of not believing God. It says this is the beginning of something new. But the monument was built from what? From stones taken in the middle of the miracle. It couldn't be more in the middle of the miracle. The miracle was crossing the river, and the stones were taken from the center of that river to build this monument. So this is just for introduction. I think it's very clear that God likes us to take things from the past, which he's done in our lives, to remember them as a monument for the future. Right, next one. Now, what are some memorial stones? You know, I love this psalm. I'm sure many of you know it. Psalm 103, it says, I bless the holy name of God with all my heart. Yes, I will bless the Lord and not forget the glorious things he does for me. And then he mentions a few. What are these memorial stones from our past? I should have asked you, actually. But I'm talking about spiritual memorial stones now, yeah? Not when your child was born or the day you got married to your anniversary, no things like that. Spiritual. He forgives all my sins. The day when you gave your heart to Jesus is the biggest memorial stone, I think, in your entire life. We'll see later, that's the foundation on which all other memorial stones are built. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He fills my life with good things. He gives justice to all who are treated unfairly. Anybody here who feels you are treated unfairly, the Lord gives justice. You know, I just want to say something about that thing, he heals me. You know, I've got a good friend here today who knows how old I am. Many of you don't know. But you know what? I experience divine health. And I once heard a pastor saying, We pray for the one or two with cancer, and it's quite right. But why don't we thank God this morning for the 3,000 people here who don't have cancer? I want to tell you something about Moses. You know, Moses was not allowed into the promised land. And there was a day when God came to Moses and he said, Moses, you're going to die today. And he took Moses and went up to the Mount Nebo, to the top of the mountain. And Moses walked himself. God didn't carry him. You know why? His strength and his vision was like that of a young man. He experienced divine health. He was in his 80s. When he got to the top, it says so beautifully, he and the Lord looked over the promised land together. What a communion he had with God. They watched together. The Lord says, look to the east, look to the west, look to the north. You're not going to enter it, Moses, but you're allowed to look. And then he died. He wasn't sick. He wasn't weak. So when does a Christian die, child of God die? When you've completed your job. That's when you die. You don't have to be sick or weak to die. So I'm just sharing this because it was very precious to me. Right, so what are more some other memorial stones? Can we have the next one? I'm just mentioning four things there. Dreams, answered prayers, promises fulfilled, and miracles. You know, I could start telling you about the miracles in my life this morning, but I won't do it for two reasons. The first is you've heard it all before. And the second is it'll take all day. Because my life is a miracle. And I won't go into that now. I'll just share one or two miracles shortly. But even dreams, God may give you a dream which becomes fulfilled many years later, and then it becomes a memorial stone. You know, old Joseph was not, I imagine, 17 years old, telling his brothers and his parents, I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bow before me last night. Do you think he was popular? Not with his dad, or his mom, or the brothers. But he shared, he witnessed what the Lord showed him. 20 years later, when he was 37, he was sub-king of Egypt. And we read this. And Joseph was governor of Egypt and in charge of the sale of the grain. There was a big drought and there was no food. So everybody came to Egypt to buy. And it was to him that his brothers came and bowed low before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph recognized them instantly, but he pretended he didn't. Then Joseph remembered. What did he remember? The dream. I want to say this morning, if there are some of you here who have dreams that the Lord clearly showed you, you know what? That dream, the day when God fulfills that dream, you'll know. You'll remember. The Holy Spirit will quicken it. And miracles. You know, I was thinking, I would just like to share one miracle with you. This is a memorial stone in my life of 40 years ago. I was a missionary doctor in Malawi. I was very young, 26. And after my time there, I drove back to South Africa, but through Zambia. Everybody in Malawi told me and said, you must be very careful. You're going to cross a bridge, the Luangwa Bridge, crosses a big river. You're not allowed to race over that bridge because they shot at people who did that. You must drive 30 kilometers an hour. It's very dangerous. It's a high priority, safety priority thing for the country. So that night, as I was coming over a hill, there the bridge was in all its beauty. And I remembered what everybody said. What happened then? I had a flat tire. This morning, as we prayed, somebody said, the why's in life. Why now, God? Why here? Yeah. The last place on earth you want a flat tire. I was within minutes surrounded by soldiers. They helped me to repair the tire, and then they said, you're not allowed to go over this bridge tonight in the dark. Because it is a high security place. You'll have to sleep amongst us. So that night, I slept amongst the soldiers. And I wish I could tell you I had a dream like Jacob with the ladder and angels. And so I didn't have that. Nothing. I just slept like a child. I always sleep like a child. I am a bit childlike. Next morning, the pawpaw struck the fan. Because when I started the foxy, there was nothing.
was dead.
Yeah. And I said, I wish I could tell you what I prayed. I can't tell you. I just called out to God. That day, I realized what it means to call out to God. Because I was here, no cell phones. Nobody, apart from the few missionaries now that I'm going through Zambia. How on earth is anybody going to get me? How on earth am I going to leave this country ever? You know what happened? The first car that came into that complex had to stop with the police. It was an old Peugeot 404. The missionaries loved them. They were very popular with the missionaries. It was one of the missionaries from my mission station getting out. I couldn't believe it. At least somebody knows where I am. That was the good news. The bad news is that Johanna don't know anything about cars. I only know about the Bible. So that was really very bad news for me. He said, but you know what, Johan? There's another car coming. What was it? A Folksy. An Indian stepped out of his car. I told him what happened. Got into my car. Changed two fuses in the fuse box. And there I went. Drove to South Africa. You know what I learned that day? I learned what it means to call out to God. And I learned something that I never forgot. God will never leave you or forsake you. We sang this morning, He sees us where we are. He knows absolutely everything about our lives. And that memorial stone has carried me through my life many times. When I was in desperate situations, I said, God, if you could do it there, you can do it again. Right, so can we have the next? Who benefits from our memorial that we built? First one. Next, please. The first one is God. You know, when they built this memorial at Gilgal, Joshua explained again the purpose of the stones to the people. Many, they said it was about 2.5 million people. He said, I wonder how they heard him all without the microphone, but anyway. He said, God did this so that all the nations of the earth will realize that Jehovah is the mighty God. And so that all of you will worship him forever and ever. You know, when we share our memorial stones to people, you know what we do? We don't take glory for ourselves. We give glory to God. So all your testimonies that you share with people give glory to God. Because it's He that did it. Nay, we can't do anything on ourselves. Next. But it's also for ourselves. Now I want to share this with you. You know, David was a shepherd boy. He was looking after the sheep when his brothers went to join the army. Saul's army, who was fighting against the Philistines, had to be padkos vir hulle gevat. He got there the day, and when he got there, he heard this mighty shout of the giant standing in the valley, challenging the armies of God. And he wanted somebody to fight against him. And David immediately said, I'm going to do it. And his brothers ridiculed him. And Saul said, no, by no way you're going to do it. Can't you see that's a giant? Can't you see the size of his spear? What did David say? David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it. And killed it. Can you imagine killing a bear and a lion with his own hands? Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. What am I telling you? He would never have confronted Goliath if he hadn't confronted the bear and the lion. And if at that moment he didn't make those episodes, memorial stones, if he'd forgotten about it when he got there, he would also not have done it, even though he's done it. And you know what? Many of our memorial stones are very personal. Nobody was there when David killed the lion and the bear. He was by himself. Nobody was there to witness it. He had to tell people, you know, this is what God, and because God did that for me, I can do this now. Now, I just want to challenge you. You may have your Goliaths facing you this week. But you know what? Just think a bit back. Think of what God has done for you. Who has came through for you. With finances, with health, in your marriage. Whatever. And know this God doesn't change. He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm shortly going to tell you about my latest Goliath. Perhaps you want to hear it, perhaps not. Oh, there's lots of time I can tell it. You know, when we bought this little plot in Stanford, I went there to garden because in my heart, I'm a farmer. I love the soil. I had only 3 meters of land behind the house where I could plant vegetables. The guy behind me planted 3 wild fig trees. Fig trees love Stanford. They love the climate. They love the soil. It's near the river. It's moist. And all the water and all the manure that I put in that soil was taken up by the fig trees. Later on, I saw them. I mean, you can't believe how those trees grow. I mean, I got some of the roots under my house. I tried to plant pumpkins, and the pumpkins were wilted because there was no water. The fig trees' roots took up all the water. And one day, I told Rihanna, Rihanna shouldn't be here now because she can tell you perhaps a different story. But I was not in a good place. Rihanna? Yeah, she says, Rihanna says yes. I said, Rihanna, we'll have to sell this place. No, never ever. I'm not going to build another house again. And what about the view? And I said, listen, I didn't come here for the view. I came here to plant pumpkins and potatoes. I can't do it anymore. Well, so I built a box. It's an enormous box. It looks like a mini Ark of Noah. Where I planted this, just to get away from the roots. And then some vicious thoughts entered my mind, you know? Like poisoning the roots. Like rimming the bark of the trees, you know? This doesn't sound like a good Christian, does it? And then I realized, whatever I do, this guy is going to know. Who else would like those trees not to be there but me? I can't, and especially if they all three die at the same time, you know? So, anybody here that would like to tell me what I did? I? No, I'm much more religious than that. I prayed. I said, God, you're the one who could fix my folksy with just changing 2 little fuses. What is a fig tree to you? Please, 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 God, I can't live like this. I want to plant potatoes and pumpkins again. And you know what? The guy, I can't go into this guy's background because he was very, very close with us when we built there. We became very good friends, by the way. We're going to have lunch with him tomorrow night. And when he met somebody on a stoop the other day, the guy said he wanted to invite us for lunch. He said, you can invite them, but not Monday night. Monday night is coming to us. So that's the sort of relationship we have now with this guy. You know what happened to the fig trees? They started lifting up the wall between us. With cracks, and he saw it, and he removed 2 of them. And then one remained, the big culprit remained, and he said, that one I'm not going to take out. So what did I do? New work. God, please, that tree must go. That tree must go. You know what? The tree's gone. We took it out Friday. You know why I took it out? Not to please me. He noticed the roots of the tree in his pipes, entering his pipes. So, but God planned it so, you know? So that tree is out. We had to took a bucky to pull the stump over to get it out. But it's, what I'm telling you today is, that's my God. He saw my heart. He loves me. He saw I love the soil. That's why I'm there. He doesn't want me to move, and Rana especially. So he helped us to get the trees out. You know, this may sound very simple to you. This is a small thing. For me, it wasn't a small thing. But I just tell you, we can go to everything with God. And this is now a memorial stone for me. Not that the fig trees are there, they're not there. The fact that they're not there is a memorial stone. Right, next. Yes, we also need monuments for our children. You know, when they built that monument, Joshua said the following. This is Psalm 78 now. The Lord says, I will reveal these things to you so that you can describe these glorious deeds of Jehovah to your children. You know what? It is right to bring your children to church, to take them to children's church. It's the right thing to read Bible stories for them at night. But you know what is the most powerful thing that you can do for your children to make sure that they will end up with the Lord one day? Share your memorial stones. You know, our children knows everything about our background, where we come from, what God has done for us. They know how we've prayed with them for the right person to marry, to get selection to do certain courses at the university, which are very difficult to get in. And nowadays, they have their own memorial stones. They phone us and they say, please pray for this and that. And then they come back and they say, God has answered the prayer. So that is a way you get your child to the Lord, is by sharing your memorial stones with your children. And I love the next one. Not only your children, but your grandchildren. And it says here in Psalm 71, and that's me, now that I'm old and gray, don't forsake me. Give me time to tell this new generation and their children too about all their mighty miracles. You know why I want to live? They said, I'm just thinking of it now. His wife said, the main thing that kept him alive for so long were his children. He still wanted to share things with them. You know what? I want to live so that I can see my grandchildren grow up. And I want to share with them the miracles God did in my life. Right, the next one. And then the world. And you know, Joshua said in Deuteronomy 28, Moses said, God took you through the Red Sea. And later on, he took them through the Jordan River. Why? Verse 10. So that all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. You know, there's also a verse in Malachi that says, in the last days, there will be a difference between those that serve God and those that do not serve God. We are different. You know, that same neighbor of mine in Stanford and his wife were very in a bad state when we got there spiritually. I can't say they saved yet, but I can tell you their faces are different. And he notices something in us. He says, he one day told me and he said, you look so happy, Johan. Happy. Now, I must be careful now. Né? I can't just come with the whole full gospel now and just overwhelm him there and then. But that is what God wants us to be. Our attitude, the way we look, the way God blesses us, he wants us to be different from the world. And you know, if you have never read Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to give you some homework today. I used to do that with the students, so I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Go and read Deuteronomy 28. It is the most amazing chapter where God, which speaks of the blessings of God, how God blesses his children, inside the house, outside the house, in the fruit basket, in the bread basket, and that is our God. Our God is the one who blesses us. Yeah, and I would like to end off with the next. I don't know whether you noticed, but I haven't quoted a single scripture from the New Testament this morning. So I'm going to end off with the New Testament, and I'm just going to read this for us. Let us just read this together. It is in 1 Corinthians 3, and it's Paul speaking, and he says, no one can ever lay any other real foundation than that one which we already have, Jesus Christ. But there are various kinds of materials that can be used to build on that foundation. Some use gold and silver and jewels, and some build with sticks and hay or even straw. There's going to come a time of testing at Christ's judgment day. to see what kind of material each builder has used. Everyone's work will be put through the fire so that all can see whether or not it keeps its value and what was really accomplished. And then every workman who has built on the foundation with the right materials and whose work will still stands will get his pay. But if the house he has built burns up, he will have a great loss. He himself will be saved, but like a man escaping through a wall of flames. You know what? This scripture tells us a number of things. The first is, we are all building. Whether we know it or not, we are building. What are we building with? The second thing is, we're building on what? On a solid foundation, Christ. And all the miracles I've spoken about this morning, the origin of the memorial stones is Christ. He is the foundation on which we build. And that is why it says, if you've built all your life with the wrong materials, well, the Holy Spirit can show us what are wrong materials and what are good materials. I've shared some of the good ones this morning. I think bad ones, straw and things like that, is religion. Doesn't mean anything to God. You know, works of the flesh doesn't mean anything. It's only spiritual things that have become spiritual memorial stones that will be jewels in this wall that we're building. And so God says, even if you've built all your life with the wrong things and you come to the end, you will still be saved. Why? You built on the right foundation, Jesus. You will be saved, but without your works. But if you've built with the right stones, the gems, that monument will carry through into eternity. It will have eternal value. So that which we build here, our memorial stones, our monument, is not going to end the day when we put away. It will last into eternity. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mion. You guys can stand with me. I'm going to quickly pray for us. Wow, that, especially that last part, just spoke to my heart, and I just want us to quickly pray.